When I did my teacher training 20 years ago, I immediately started teaching 25 classes a week, which incidentally is not something I recommend unless you want to quickly fall out of love with yoga and teaching. Anyways, I showed up to teach one of those classes excited to share and teach with the excitement and vigor of a 23-year-old who just came out of an intensive month-long teacher training in an ashram. Ah, bless that younger version of myself. So earnest, wanting to teach every single class as if it was the best class ever. And I did. I diligently taught the poses I was taught in my training. I went around and adjusted everyone to make sure that their shavasana was more comfortable. I closed each class with a long mantra, and I made sure to look at everyone in the eye when I said namaste. But I also did this. I did the dreaded yoga teacher voice. We are going to be talking more about that dreaded yoga teacher voice and how we don't need to get good at yoga, and we also don't need to get good at teaching. Oh yes, my friends, this is going to be a good one. Let's go back to the dreaded yoga teacher voice, all of those things that I did to be a good teacher. But again, think about this. This was 20 years ago, and the yoga landscape, at least where I was much different than it is now. All those things were things that a good yoga teacher was doing. And now my understanding of movement, anatomy, and asana is vastly expanded. And I no longer say namaste and have long ago stopped closing out my classes with mantras for many different reasons. That's maybe a different podcast. I also rarely do hands-on adjustments, and especially not in shavasana. And luckily, I have long retired the yoga teacher voice. And I hope you know what I mean when I say yoga teacher voice. Because it's funny about the yoga teacher voice is that I didn't even know I was doing it until one day the studio owner came up to me after taking one of my classes and she said, "Bree, what's up with your voice when you teach?" And I was like, "What do you mean? Am I not talking loud enough? Are my cues unclear?" And she said, "No, your voice totally changes when you teach. It doesn't sound like you." Now, I'll be honest, I was a little offended when she said that, but then as I started to listen to myself in classes afterwards, I realized she was right. I was doing it. I was doing the yoga teacher voice. Now, it's that voice, and here it is. So this is how I like to think of the yoga teacher voice. It's that voice that goes a little deeper. The words are said a little slower, more dreamy, like, "Hello, welcome to the yoga class. I'm your teacher." Exhale, swan dive forward. Inhale, halfway lift. Like, you get it, right? That might be a little bit more playful, dramatic of it, but I think we all understand that now. It's the type of voice that we do when we think yoga teachers need to be a certain way. It's the type of voice that doesn't necessarily reflect who we actually are. And it tends to also be the type of voice that unconsciously tells our students that a yoga teacher and a yoga practitioner needs to be a certain way. Listen to my calm voice. Now you have to be like this. And it's quite unrealistic. Now, there's a difference between yoga teacher voice and the type of voice that we put on when we want to change the tone of the class, for example. So let's say you've been teaching everything standing poses, and you're trying to now get people prepared and heading into shavasana, or you're maybe guiding a meditation, breathing, or shavasana. Your tone will change. You'll talk a little slower. You'll be a little bit more calm, but you can do that in a way that it still sounds like you. There's the yoga teacher voice here. I tend to think of it more of an affectation, right? And by putting on that voice, for me, even though I didn't realize I was doing it, I wasn't being as authentic in my teaching as I wanted to be or thought I was. And though I didn't love it, it was a beautiful moment of learning. And remember, my friends, as yoga teachers, we should always be learning, right? There's never a time where we won't stop learning. There will never be a time when you'll finally get crowned a perfect teacher or a master teacher, because there's no such thing. Life is nothing but learning, isn't it? Even the oldest person in the world who had had decades upon decades of life experience will tell you that there are still things they are learning about themselves. And if yoga is a practice that offers us how to live life, how to be in the world, how to know oneself more, then as long as we're living, hopefully we're learning. And as long as we're teaching, we're learning. As long as we're practicing, we're learning. And yoga offers thus the little hint about this. It's by design that we call yoga a practice. By calling yoga, not just the physical asana, but all of it, a practice, it reminds us that we are always learning. We are always in development, that there is no end goal. But what about samadhi or enlightenment, you ask? Well, for me, samadhi isn't some destination at the end of a long, arduous journey of yoga where all of a sudden everything will be clear. I'll forever float through my life in this newfound sense of consciousness, untouched by the ills of the world and stresses of my life. that would be really cool, but I'm pretty sure that's not going to happen. But what I do know is that samadhi, that place of enlightenment, that place of completion of one's learning, happens maybe in a more subtle way. I think about less of a completion and more as moments of awareness. The moments of insight about myself and the habits of the mind and heart that become clear as I start to see myself in new ways. And these moments arise as a result of my practice, my yoga, my practice of self-awareness. And do these moments last? No, not always, and in fact, not usually, but our conditioning can be really embedded into who we are, and it can take time and care to unpack it and shift it into something different. And I actually think that that's the way it needs to be, because that's the practice. We show up over and over again to learn, grow, repattern, and so on. And what I love about a physical yoga practice is that it's a microcosm for these deeper practices of awareness. It's been said that how we show up on the mat is how we show up in our life. I don't know who said it, but that saying's out there. And I would further that by saying how we show up in our teaching is reflective of who we are in our life. For example, as a teacher, do you feel like you have to make sure every person in the class is happy? And if you feel like you didn't achieve that, then you didn't really teach a good class. And then does that same thought show up in your relationships? Are you a caretaker for the people in your life? Do you feel valued as a friend when you're helping others? Or how about as a teacher, do you struggle with comparing yourself to other teachers? And if you're not like other teachers, do you think that something's wrong with you or you're not good enough as you are? And do these similar thoughts show up in other parts of your life? Do you compare or measure yourself to others in other ways? So we start to see that our yoga teaching is also part of our personal yoga practice. Our shit does not magically go away when we step onto the mat in front of a room full of people about to teach a class. In fact, it probably gets intensified for most of us. So that feeling like an imposter, like you're not good enough as a teacher, feeling like you won't measure up that I hear so many teachers talking about is your learning. It's your practice. And hopefully listening to this helps to normalize some of your doubts and fears as a teacher and as an everyday person living in this world, because we aren't supposed to get good at teaching. Well, okay, let me clarify that real quick, just in case it wasn't clear. You will get good at teaching. The more you teach, the more you work on your inner stuff, these deeper aspects of yoga, for example, the better you'll be at teaching. But that's not an end goal, because there is no end goal. That's a circular experience where some days you'll be on it. Some days when you show up to teach, you'll feel awesome and aligned and teach with confidence and ease. And other days, including the other days after those magical teaching days where you're totally on it, you'll likely feel less aligned. You might walk away from your class with a head full of doubts. 10 years into your yoga teaching practice, this stuff is still likely going to arrive and arise, because learning and awareness is not a straight line. We need to learn the same things in a variety of ways for it to stick over and over and over. Truly, for most of us, we need to learn the same things in a variety of ways for years before it sticks. So in this process of getting good or not getting good at teaching, you get to have permission to make mistakes, to play, experiment, let go of ideals, be yourself. And each time that you show up for yourself with compassion and care, at home, in your relationships, and while you're teaching, you're doing your yoga. And if you're doing it in that way, I'd even say you're doing it really good. Get it? It's a lifelong practice, my friends, and we're all in it together. And the best part is that the very thing that will make you a good teacher for the people in the classes is not your idea of what good teaching is, but the fact that you are simply you. You do the work of self-awareness that yoga offers us, and you'll eventually be good, but you don't need to get good. That just happens. I hope this all makes sense. We've made this a nice, short, and easy, simple episode this week. Listen to this as many times as you need to etch it into your heart, to burn it into your mind next time you reflect on your classes and you walk away going, oh, I'll never be good enough. Or you feel like you have to change yourself, do my version of the yoga teacher voice or anything like that. Remember, you got this. You're good. Show up in your classes. Be imperfect. You're supposed to be. And if you want more teaching inspiration, go check out our Heart and Bones online yoga teacher training course. It's half anatomy, accessible practices, inclusive ways of teaching. And I swear the other half is just more things like this that you're listening to on the podcast, where you've got me pumping your tires, making you feel awesome and encouraged, and normalizing these deeper parts of being human and being a yoga teacher. Go check them out in the show notes.